May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Today is the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. That's why we're in red. We wear red when you're celebrating martyrs. And they were both, of course, martyred for their faith. And we've talked, for CTK years, we've talked about Peter a lot lately, so I thought we'd do a little something about Paul. This is what Paul said when he was giving testimony. He says in verse 24 of Acts 20, I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify solemnly of the good news of the grace of God. There's another place, if I can find it. Speaking to Agrippa, he says, verse 19 of Acts 26, consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul talked about not considering his life dear to himself, not being disobedient to the heavenly vision, and just a couple of things about him, and then these verses, they kind of speak for themselves. This is Paul's, again, testimony about his life. Philippians chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He says, beware the dogs, the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, that these were people trying to bring them back under the law. So although I may consider myself, have confidence even in the flesh and what I did spiritually in my humanity, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in themselves, I would be far more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, I was found blameless. Whatever things were gained to me, to those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of experiencing Christ as my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them but barnyard manure, that's the word, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own by my own self-effort, by keeping the law, but that which is through Christ and faith in him, a righteousness that comes from God, not one based on self-effort, but one that comes through faith, that I may know him, experience him, and experience the power of his resurrection, experiencing the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold or having arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and all the losses that I've suffered, I continue to reach forward towards Christ, pressing on to the goal, which is Jesus, who is the prize, the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. That was really the heavenly vision. This book, this is Paul, and starts off by saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice. Over in chapter 2, rejoice, joy, joy, rejoice, 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 all joy. Oh, rejoice, rejoice, joy, joy. And then, of course, in chapter 4, rejoice the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, here's Paul talking about suffering the loss of all things, but and his personality type, if again, you know anything about Scripture, he wasn't this winsome, just naturally happy-go-lucky. He wasn't a sanguine person. And yet, he just talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. He said, again, I say rejoice. Why? For the Lord's presence is at hand. I mean, here's the guy who is in prison, imprisoned, writing letters that still affect the lives of people today. I mean, that's the consequence of somebody's not griping because they're in a situation where they're restricted. Paul would not have chosen to be in prison. He wanted to be out leading people to Christ. He was a traveler. And yet he's constricted And he ends up dying in that constricted place. And instead of complaining and griping, he's rejoicing. As a matter of fact, he says, I'm in Christ, seated in the heavenly places. I'm a prisoner of Jesus, he said. Three different times in that situation. And what he just did out of that place of joy and celebration, he just wrote letters that are still having greater impact than he could have ever had if it had just been loose, going out and doing stuff. I mean, we get so narrow-minded. The enemy is such a liar. If you feel like you're in some constricted place or some circumstance where you don't have the freedom you'd like to have, just walk in Christ. Be a person of joy, and you'll have greater impact than you could ever imagine. We just see things with the lenses and the grid that the enemy puts before us. But when Paul was in prison, in jail in Philippi, been beaten up, chained, he and Silas, what are they doing at midnight? Singing hymns, rejoicing in the Lord. And of course, of that earthquake happens, the jailer and his whole family get saved. While Paul's in prison in Rome, the Praetorian Guard are guarding him 24 hours a day. That's the guard of Caesar's household, and he's just leading them to Christ. What do you think Paul's talking to him about? He wasn't griping or complaining. He was just talking about Jesus, rejoicing, seated in heavenly places, and he was leading them to Christ, and they were going back to Caesar's household and leading important people and senators to Jesus. I mean, by Caesar putting Paul in prison in Rome, it's as if God had appointed Caesar as the head of the evangelization committee for the whole church. But I want you to hear this, Paul's calling. Interesting. With this, we'll stop. This is the Damascus Road experience. Paul gets knocked down. He hears the voice of the Lord. He's blinded. And they bring him to Damascus. He's there for 3 nights. He still can't see. He's not eating or drinking because he's fasting. And he's just a baby in Christ. Just a baby. Verse 10, now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street that's called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Hear this, for behold, he is praying. What a powerful thing for God to say. That's what impressed God's heart. And he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in, lay hands on him, that he might regain his sight. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much he did to your saints in Jerusalem, how he had them killed and slaughtered. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to me, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings of the sons of, and the sons of Israel. And this one says, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. That didn't sound right. I mean, shouldn't it have been, this would be the books we'd all go out and buy, right? This would be all the popular writers go, God wants to show you your destiny. He wants to show you that you're a world changer. He wants to show you the anointing and the possibilities that you have. Is all those things true? Yes. But we popularized and secularized and westernized the gospel. Did Paul move in signs and wonders? Extraordinary level. The miracles and things happened? Incredible. What did God show him? How much he was going to suffer for his sake. And Paul signed up anyway. Not only did he sign up, but this guy finds himself rejoicing in the Lord always, being in Christ in heavenly places, having suffered the loss of all things, and considered that all barnyard manure because he had Jesus. Most important thing in the world. I was supposed to go to Dallas today. So the trip's been arranged for a while. But I hadn't heard from the people. I kept thinking, something's not right. They should, like, I should have heard something else from them. It's a long story. So I texted this morning, oh, yes, Archbishop, we're so glad you're coming. But something still wasn't really right. So I finally called. Really neat person that's kind of scattered and brilliant, but scatterbrained, is an MD. And he never confessed it, but I think they forgot I was coming. And so he's scrambling around. This is his wife's birthday party. And he's, oh, yeah, we're so glad. And so I finally just said, Father, would it be easier if I just didn't come? I said, I think I can just change the ticket. And he's like going, oh, no. I said, listen, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I promise you. He said, well, it really would help. He had forgotten. So I rescheduled my flight, and I was talking to Olivia, and so Olivia's offended. She said, what a terrible way to behave towards an archbishop. I said, Olivia, I don't think he meant to forget. That's the whole point. You forget doesn't mean you meant to forget. He forgot. And then James was asking me, he said, well, are you happy or sad about it? Something like that. And my answer was him. I felt Pauline, kind of. I said, well, you know, I'm in Christ either way. It really doesn't matter. I'm in Christ in Dallas. I'm in Christ in Selma. See, if you know that you've gained him and you're in him and he's living his story, it really doesn't matter what you've suffered, does it? Or how things change, does it? Because you've got him, right? Please, let me just say this to you. You live in a fallen world and there's going to be some suffering. Just the suffering of temptation. The suffering of living with fallen people. The suffering of a body that's not yet fully redeemed. The suffering of crazy people out in the world. Crazy politicians. Crazy neighbors, crazy circumstances, right? If you signed up to avoid suffering, then you missed it. But if you signed up because of him, then you got it. Amen? Yes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.